Our Heavenly Father, we come before you with thanksgiving. We ask that you be with us tonight, and I pray that you're going to speak to each and every one of us as we study the second chapter of Revelation. And I pray that the Spirit of Truth lead us into all truth and help us not only be able to understand and put what we learn into practice, and so that in your light we see your glorious and wonderful light of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, Jean, could you read that Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 7.
To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name, and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
In here, the Ephesus is the first church. I think the church of Ephesus is because Paul went to this place and lead them to Christ. So, and now, at the end, the Apostle John is the pastor of the church of Ephesus. And then because of that, he was exiled into the island of Patmos. And in his suffering, he sees Jesus. And then he received a message from him, expect John to write to the church in Ephesus in Asia Minor. There are seven churches in Asia Minor. To the angel, chapter 2, verse 1, to the angel, angel also means to the messenger, that means to the pastor. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, these are the words of him who holds the seven star in his right hand and walk among the seven golden lampstand. These are not the word of the Apostle John. It is the Apostle John who write this. But these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how did the Apostle John describe Jesus? He described Jesus as the one who holds the seven star in his right hand. That means he is in control of each and every one of the messengers that are serving in the seven churches. That means who is in control of the pastor? It is Jesus Christ who is in control of the pastor. And secondly, how did he describe Jesus? Jesus is the one who walks among the seven golden lampstands. Jesus Christ, the one who walk among the seven churches. If Jesus is the one who walk among the seven churches, that means he walk among all churches, because the churches are the body of Jesus Christ. According to Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 1, verse 23. The church is his body. The church is his body, is the body of Jesus Christ. The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. The church is his body. So he, Jesus Christ, the one who walked among the seven churches. And you take a look, I think it's only Apostle John talk about that. Apostle John and Apostle Paul talk about that. Apostle Paul saying that in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 23, the church is his body. Take a look at the Gospel of John, chapter 2. Gospel of John, chapter 2. Verse 21. Chapter 2, verse 21. But the temple he has spoken of was his body. So only two apostles talk about that. But they talk about the same thing. The temple was his body. The church is his body. The church is his body. The temple is his body. So we are talking about Revelation chapter 2. So it is natural that Jesus Christ walked among the seven golden lampstands. The seven golden lampstands are the seven churches. Right beside chapter 1, Revelation, verse 20, right beside the seven churches, you write down the churches, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, chapter 1, verse 23. The church is his body. And then Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 21. The temple was his body. The church is his body. The temple was his body. So we go to the church to worship God. That means we enter into Jesus, because the church is his body. So that's why every Sunday we go to the church and listen to what he has to say to us. Okay? Now, we found out that Jesus Christ is the one who holds the seven star. That means he is in control of the coming and going of the seven messenger. The seven star are the seven angel. The seven star are the seven messenger, are the seven pastor. So who is in control? Who is in control of the coming and going of the pastor? According to Revelation chapter 2 verse 1, Jesus Christ is the one who holds the seven star, the seven messenger in his right hand. He is the one in control of the coming and going of the pastor. Just in case, let's say in the future when I pass away, and unfortunately no one rise up to do the preaching and teaching in the Apostolic Bible Church, and then you have to listen to the sermon every Sunday, so you end up put an advertising in a Christian magazine and asking for a pastor to come to minister to the congregation. And I want you to remember Revelation chapter 2 verse 1. Jesus Christ is the one in control of the pastor in his right hand. He controls his coming, he controls his going. So make sure when you interview the pastor, you people pray to God and ask Jesus to reveal to you to see whether these are the star that is supposed to come to this church to shine for Jesus. The star is the one to shine for Jesus. Okay? Because Jesus also stands for the sun. The star is a reflection of the light of the sun. Same as the moon. The moon doesn't give light by itself. You see the moonlight is because the moonlight is the reflection of the sunlight. In the same way, the star doesn't give light. The star gives light out of the light of sun, right? Okay? The star only reflects the sun's light. Okay? Now, I want you to write beside the star, you write down Philippians. As a matter of fact, Paul saying that he expects each and every one of us to reflect the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right beside the star, you write down Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. I read that to you, and all the way, do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like star in the universe as you hold out the word of light. The word of life, in order that I may boast on the days of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. I want you to write down right beside the star, you write Philippians chapter 2, 14 to 16. In a crooked and depraved generation, Jesus wants us to become blameless and pure. Want us to be children of God without fault. So that in this generation, we can shine like star in the universe, in this darkness. Okay? So when we, in the future, when you interview the messenger or the pastor, make sure the leader of the church seek God's will. Remember, in Jesus' right hand, he is the one who holds the seven star. He is the one who in control of the coming and going of the messenger, not the church, not the leader. You understand? So you have to seek God's will for that. Okay? Secondly, Jesus Christ is the one who walked among the seven lampstands, among the seven churches. That means if there's a problem in the church, because he walked among the seven churches, he knows everything. Okay? So all you need, if you get problem in the church, all you need is lay your request before him and pray to him and ask him to help you, and he will deliver you. Verse 2. Jesus said, I know your deeds. And you know what? There are only two people know your deeds. First of all, you yourself know that. And secondly, it is Jesus Christ, because he knows everything. Okay? I know your deeds. I know your hard work and your perseverance. So if you love the Lord knows that. You don't need to tell people, because Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, our Master. He knows everything. Why? Because he walked among the seven golden lampstands. In verse 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. You know, that is a comfort to the messenger of the church. Because if you work hard, he knows that. If you persevere, he knows that. If you have good deed, he knows that too. Okay? He knows everything. And then in the second part of verse 2, I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. I want you to write beside verse 2, you have tested the false apostle. Okay, some apostle, they come into the church, they claim to be apostle, but they are not. And the pastor of that church at that time cannot tolerate wicked men. These are the wicked men. They are not true apostle, and they claim to be apostle because the pastor tested them who claim to be apostle but are not, and I found them false. Right beside that, I want you to write down the book of Acts, chapter 20. As a matter of fact, in the last visit that Paul has with the leader, with the elders of the church of Ephesus, and Paul has this saying. Jean, could you read that in 17, chapter 20, verse 17? These are the message that Paul saying to the elders of the church of Ephesus. Chapter 20, verse 17, 2017, all the way to the end, to 38.
From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock.
So, circle that. In verse 29, Paul saying that when he was filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul said that I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. And who are they? They are some of them are overseers. And probably some of them, that's what Jesus said, they are false apostles. Okay? Verse 30.
Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them.
Okay, right beside verse 30, even from your own numbers, right beside, even from your own numbers, men will arise and distort the truth. Who are they? Who is speaking? Paul is the one who is speaking. To whom did he speak to? In verse 17, he spoke to the elders of the church. Verse 17. And then in verse 27, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourself and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseer. So, the elders of the church is supposed to be the overseer of the church, because the elders of the church are the leader of the church, because they heard the gospel numerous times. They're getting old, you know. And it's not a newcomer. It's not a new believer. They've been in the church for a long time already. So that's why they are called elders of the church, and they're the overseer. Verse 28, they're overseer of the church. And then right beside verse 30, you write down 2017 and 2028. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth. Who arise and distort the truth? The elders. The overseer. It's very dangerous. Why would they do that? In order to draw away disciples after them. They don't want the disciple to follow Jesus. They want the disciple to follow the overseer and to follow the elders. So you better watch out. If any pastor, if any leader want you to follow them and not to follow Jesus, he is the one who distorted you. Okay? We don't follow people. We follow Jesus. Right? Verse 31.
So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have stopped warning each of you night and day. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we may help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus Himself said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was the statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship.
Because Paul knows that when you go to Jerusalem, he probably get locked up, sent to prison. He will not have any opportunity to go back to the church of Ephesus to see the congregation, to see the saints. So that's why Paul called the leader and to talk to them. Talk to the overseer, talk to the elders, and hoping that they realize the danger ahead of them and even some of them will rise up and distort the truth and want people to follow them instead of follow Jesus Christ. Okay? As a matter of fact, according to the book of Acts, chapter 20, we see that the church of Ephesus go through a lot of testing. Right? Even from among their own men, rise up to distort the truth. That's really bad. And then, lo and behold, some people from outside come in and saying that they are apostles. Fortunately, the pastor tests them and found out they are not true apostles. Find them false, right? Fortunately. So, that's exactly why in Ephesians chapter 4, go back to Ephesians chapter 4, you know why Paul saying what he's saying? Chapter 4 verse 11. Jean, could you read that? Chapter 4 verse 11, what's the reason why God gives the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher to the churches? With a purpose in mind. What's the purpose? Starting in verse 11.
It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of God may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ.
So I want you right here, right beside verse 11, it is he who gave some to be apostle, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastor and teacher. Right beside chapter 4, verse 11, you write down chapter 2, Revelation, verse 1. These are the word of him who holds the seven star in his right hand. In other words, whether you are apostle, whether you are evangelist, whether you are prophet, pastor, teacher, who is in control? It's Jesus who holds in his right hand. You understand? So it is he who gave some to be apostles, some to be a prophet, some to be evangelist, and some to be pastor and teacher. So you got to make sure whoever come to your church to preach or to teach, make sure that this person is under the control of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is not supposed to distort the truth and ask people to follow them. He's supposed to tell the truth and ask people to follow Jesus Christ. Okay? Verse 12, he gives this leader to the church to prepare God's people for works of service, so that each and every one of us who attend churches has to serve God for works of service, so that the body of Christ means the church, may be built up. You remember, the church is his body, right? The body of Christ means the church of Christ, okay? So that the church may be built up. How do we build up the church? We build up the church not just by number, but by quality, by the maturity, by the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, until we all reach unity in the faith, until we all understand God's truth, and in the knowledge of the sons of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, when people come to the church, they look at everyone, they see Jesus. That is the mature church. It's not because they have 1,000 people, 2,000 people. No, because they know God. They allow Jesus Christ to live in them. Because Jesus is the one who walked among the seven churches. When you allow Jesus to live in you, to manifest in your life, when people look at you, they don't see you, but they see Jesus live in you, then you are a mature Christian. Okay, verse 14.
Then we will no longer be infants.
When we become mature, we will not be infant, right? No longer be infant. Tossed
back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming.
So remember that, Paul saying that, not every pastor, not every evangelist, not every teacher, not every apostle and prophet are from God. Some are from Satan. Okay? So we got to be careful. If we are mature in Jesus, then we can find out, we can test them. Okay? Just like in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, the latter part, Jesus said, I know that you cannot tolerate the wicked man, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. They are false apostles. They are false teachers. Okay? You have to have that knowledge to discern who are true servants of God, who are not. Isn't it Paul saying that? Some of the elders, some of the overseer, they rise up and distort the truth and tell people to follow them instead of follow Jesus, right? And Paul know that. Probably Paul teaching them. So that's why they learn that, how to discern who is true servant of God, who is false servant of God. So that we are not like infant tossed back and forth, okay? Verse 15.
Instead, speaking the truth in love, you will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work.
What is the first sign of the maturity? Okay, what's the first sign of the maturity? In verse 13. Become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When people see you, they don't see you, they see Christ live in you, then you are a mature Christian. What's the second sign that you are a mature Christian? You start serving God according to the knowledge of the Son of God, according to God's will. We all reach unity in the faith, in the faith of the Son of God, and in the knowledge of the Son of God. We are united with Jesus Christ. And thirdly, we allow Jesus to be the head of the body. So who is in control of your action? Who is in control of your speech? It is the head that who is control. Last Sunday I visited a person. I found out that his hand cannot move according to his brain. That means his head is not in control of the member of the body, and that body is not functioning properly. In the same way, our life has to be controlled by the head. Who is the head? According to verse 15, that's Jesus Christ. We will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Verse 16. From Jesus Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I want you to circle the word. Grow and build itself up in love. The problem of this church in Ephesus, the problem of the pastor, of the messenger of the church of Ephesus. He did not grow, nor did he build himself up in love. He forsake the first love. That is the problem of this, of the star, of the messenger, of the angel of the church in Ephesus at that time. If we allow Jesus to be the head of the body, the head of the church, if we live in Jesus and allow Jesus to live inside our body to control our speech and our action, eventually we will grow and build ourselves up in love, as each part does its work. Unfortunately, the pastor of this church does not grow and build himself up in love. He forsakes the first love. So what is love? According to 1 John chapter 4 verse 8, God is love. If we do not build ourselves up in love, that means we do not grow and build ourselves up in Christ. He forsake Christ, because God is love. Let me turn to 1 John chapter 4 verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. When we build the church up, what Jesus is concerned, not so much how many people in the church, is how much love we demonstrate in our own life and in our own speech. Do you see what I mean? If you have 1,000 people who doesn't have love, it's worse than 2 people and they are filled with love of God. Because these 2 people, that's who is filled with God, filled with the love of God, these 2 people can change the world upside down. Okay? Now go back, talk about love. Ephesians chapter 6, the last verse. How did Paul pray for the church at the end? Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. When Paul prayed for the church, as if he knew that at the end, both the pastor and the entire congregation lost the first love. That's why he prayed. Grace to all, not just to the messenger, the pastor, but also to the saint in Ephesus. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. The love's dead already. No more first love. It's gone. Isn't that amazing? Right? When Paul writes the book of Ephesus, looks like he knows that. People just have to be, just like in chapter 2, verse 1, these are the words of him who holds the 7 star in his right hand and walk among the 7 golden lampstands. Verse 2, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. And I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and I found them false. In verse 3, you have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. So far, from verse 2 all the way to verse 3 is pretty good. Right? In verse 4, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. I want you to write it down right beside forsaken your first love. You write down Ephesians chapter 6 verse 24. If anyone who forsakes his first love and does not love Jesus Christ with his undying love, he lost the grace. Lost the grace. Because grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. If we do not love Jesus, we lost the grace. And I also want you to write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verse 22. That's what Paul said. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. If you love the Lord, you have grace upon grace in your life. If you lost the love, if you do not love the Lord, a curse be on you. That's really serious, right? Isn't it? Is it a serious matter? You know, this pastor is very, very busy in building up the church with good deed, with perseverance, with hard work, and can also have the knowledge to test false prophet. He endure hardship for Jesus' name's sake and have not grown weary. And yet Jesus say, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. So right beside first love, I want you to write it down. Ephesians 6:24. 1 Corinthians 16:22. And I want you to write it down. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15. In a church, we supposed to speak the truth in love. If the apostle or prophet or evangelist or pastor or teacher teaches people not with love, then people will not grow. So verse 15, instead speaking the truth in love, I want you to write down 4:15 and 4:16. When the pastor or the leaders of the church speaking the truth in love, then we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. Verse 16, from him the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grow and build itself up in love as each part does its work. So if we just have the D and doesn't have love in it, if we just speak the truth and doesn't have love in it, then we cannot build ourselves up in love either. So we ourselves will be destroyed. even though you have persevered, hardworking, it still doesn't cut. Let's see what's the outcome of the pitfalls of this messenger in the church of Ephesus. Verse 4. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Verse 5. Remember the height from which you have fallen. The moment we have forsaken our first love, we have fallen from the height. Repent and do the things you did at first. What do they do? What did the messenger do at first? Speaking the truth in love, building the church in love, and building other people in love, and he built himself up in love. But now, in the end, he lost the love. He's still preaching, he's still teaching, lost the first love. And you and I know that, what Paul saying, if anyone does not love the Lord and does not have love, a curse be on him. And grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. That kind of love, you do not allow it to die. Okay? The love of God. We have to keep on loving our Lord Jesus, because he loved us with an everlasting love. He loved us towards the end. Take a look at Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time has come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. He showed the full extent of his love. Jesus Christ loved us with an undying love. So we also should love our Lord Jesus with undying love. Okay? Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. What did he do at first? Do everything with love. Speaking in love, speaking the truth in love. Doing everything with the help of Jesus in love. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Can anyone tell me what does it mean by, if the pastor do not repent, if the leader do not repent, Jesus say, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. What does it mean? Does it mean that he loses his job? Or mean that he loses his life? Jean? What is a lampstand for? Remove your lampstand from its place. Lampstand is used to shine, right? Do you remember what I just said in Philippians? We are a shining star. Reflect the light of Jesus, right? In this deprived, crooked generation. When he removed the star from shining, then we lost our life. Our life is to shine for Jesus. Am I right? Not just he lost his position. Not just he lost his job. I think more importantly, he lost his life. Do you remember, if a tree does not bear fruit, what happened? Sally?
Cut down.
Cut down, what does it mean by cut down? The life of that tree is chopped off. We are supposed to be the shining star in a deprived and crooked generation. And if we are not shining like a lampstand, he will remove it. So that he didn't occupy that space with uselessness, right? It's not shining. It's not bearing fruit. It's not producing. It's not shining for Jesus. You might as well remove it, isn't it? Gabriel, do you see what I see? So make sure that our life shine for Jesus, right? What makes us shine for Jesus? Speaking the truth is not enough. Speaking the truth in love. Okay? If you are just speaking something, not speaking the truth, then it's not good either. Okay? You speaking the truth in love. Chapter 4, verse 15, Ephesians. So that the entire church can link together with our Lord Jesus Christ and let Jesus to control our life. Verse 15, instead speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Jesus. Grow up into Jesus. And from Jesus, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And then the whole body grew and built itself up in love as each part does its work. That's the reason why, verse 11, chapter 4, in vision, it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Why? In verse 2, to prepare God's people for works of service. Each part does its work. How can we make sure that each part does its work? They have to join together, held together, and link together with our Lord Jesus. Do you remember the overseer? What did the overseer do? The elders do? Some of the elders rise up and distort the truth and asking people to follow them, not follow Jesus, right? So there's this unity in the church. Can you imagine, you know, if your hand moved and not controlled by the head, people look at you, he thought you are insane, you know what I mean? Right? Have you ever seen people like that? You know? You move something, it's not controlled by the head. Right? People thought that you are insane, right? The whole church has to be controlled by Jesus. Okay? Now go back, Revelation. Verse 5. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. Just like if the tree doesn't bear fruit, cut it down. If the light doesn't shine for Jesus in love, cut it down. And verse 6, but you have this in your favor, at least one good thing that he has done. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitan. Nicolaitan, Nicol means Nicholas, Nicholas means overcomer, victorious. Laity, derived the word from laity. Laity means he didn't get paid, but he served in the church, lay people. Okay? Nicolaitan, what does it mean by Nicolaitan? Nicolaitan means in those days, some people have the practice of Nicolaitan, means they are leader of the church, but they do not allow people to serve. They say, the reason why I do not allow you to serve, because you are not the servant of God. You are not full-time staff. Okay? But remember what we have just read, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, all the way to 16, starting from verse 12, to prepare God's people for works of service. Verse 16, as each part does its work, there's no such thing called Nicolaitan. Nicolaitan means the full-time staff overcome the lay people. That's not right. If you are the pastor, if you are the leader of church, you're supposed to what? Encourage each one does its own work, right? So that the church of God is built up and grow. But they go late and say, no, you are not paid. You just come here on Sunday and listen to the sermon. You are not allowed to serve. That's bad, right? At least the pastor understand the truth. That is recorded in Ephesians, right beside Nicolaitan. You write down 4:11, Ephesians 4:11 to 16, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 16 is against the practice of Nicolaitan. Okay? Because Paul's teaching is to encourage each God's people does its own work, serve God. Right? We all have to serve God. Okay? Doesn't matter you get paid or not. You have to serve God. Okay? At least the pastor of this church has this thing in favor. But you had this in your favor. Okay? You hate the practices of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. Jesus Christ hates that. What does Jesus love? Wesley? What does he love? Joyce?
Serve God.
He love what? He wants each and every one of us to serve him. What did Jesus love?
He wants each and every one of us to serve him.
What did he hate? George, what does he hate?
If we don't serve him, then we hinder other people to serve him.
See? You don't serve, sometimes you hinder people to serve too. Because you don't want people to make you look bad. You understand? What did Jesus love?
For people to serve him.
What did he hate?
For people to not serve him and hinder other people to serve him.
That's right. Don't ever do that. Our job is to encourage people to serve God. What's the reason why Jesus Christ gives some to be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher? To prepare what? Verse 12, read that. Ephesians 4:12.
To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up.
The reason why God gives leader to the church is to prepare God's people to serve God. If you're the leader of the church, you're supposed to facilitate, allow people to serve, encourage them to serve. Tell me, Wesley, did you serve God? Did you do things that he loves or he hates?
The thing that he loves.
So what have you done in the church? Oh, I see that. You moved the table, right? You carry the table. Ah, I see that last week. Yeah, I see that. Done a good job. Give me 5. What about you, Gabriel? What did you do? Starting next week, start doing it, right? Think about what you can do for the church. I want you to read 12, chapter 4, verse 12, and 16, Ephesians.
To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up.
Okay, 16.
From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
As each part does his work. You are part of the church. You do your part, and I do my part. Right? Alright. Now, go back. Revelation. At least this pastor has done quite a few things that is good, right? First of all, chapter 2, verse 2. Jesus said, I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. Verse 3, you have persevered and you have endured hardship for my name, for Jesus' name, that's good, and you have not grown weary. These pastors serve God, right? Unfortunately, he served God later on, he lost the what? Undying love. He lost that. But at least he has one more thing in his favor. That is, he hates the practices of the Nicolaitan, which Jesus Christ also hates. Now, verse 7. Help us to understand. Verse 7. Help us to understand chapter 2. At verse 5. If you do not repent, that means you are a loser. If you repent, you are overcomer. You are victorious. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. I want you to write beside, I will come to you and remove your lampstand. Remove your lampstand from its place. Right beside that, you write down 2:7. I read that to you. Listen to me carefully. He who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him who is victorious, I will give the right to eat the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now, let me ask Donald the question. Why do I say you write down right beside 2:7, you write down 2:5, right beside 2:5, you write 2:7?
They're connected.
They're connected. How do they connect it? Let's say if I don't repent. If I don't repent, do I have the right to eat from the tree of light?
No. That means you're not in heaven.
That means I can't even go to heaven. I can't even enter into the paradise of God. Because being able to enter into the paradise of God, Jesus said, he who has ear, let him hear what the Spirit said to the churches. In other words, at first, chapter 2, verse 1, it is Jesus Christ who spoke to the star, to the messenger of the church of Ephesus, right? But now in verse 7, Jesus Christ spoke to each and every one of us. Am I right? In the same way, in verse 5, If he refuses to repent, that means he's a loser. That means all these good things that he has done are gone down to drain. I want you to write it down right beside the tree of life. I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, the right, right beside the right. You write down Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. And let me read that to you. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I turned it around, say that when the pastor of the church of Ephesus, he is the pastor, he's supposed to be the righteous man, and yet he turned from his righteousness and does evil, because he lost his first love. Because God is love. Right? He forsake his first love, that means he forsake Jesus and does evil. And I put a stumbling block before him, and he will die. Since you did not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous thing he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he took warning, and you will have saved yourself. Can you see that? Jesus said the same thing. I hold this against you. I hold this against you. Because in verse 4, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. And if you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from this place. Remove your lampstand, that means remove your life. Right? And you cannot even enter the kingdom of God, enter into his paradise. Nor do you have the right to eat from the tree of life. If you cannot eat the fruit from the tree of life, that means you will die in hell. Am I right? I also want you to write it down. This is in conformity with the teaching of Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. Joyce, I want you to read it one more time.
Again, when the righteous man turns from his righteousness and does evil, and I put a stumbling block before him, he will die. Since you do not warn him, he will die for his sin. The righteous things he did will not be remembered, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do warn the righteous man not to sin, and he does not sin, he will surely live because you took warning, and you will have saved yourself.
I want you also write down Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7 to 10. Jean, I would like you to read it. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 7 to 10. Talk about the same thing.
If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation, I warn, repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned.
In the same way, in chapter 2, verse 4, Jesus said, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. This is very, very important matter, issue. And remember the height from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, ignore my warning, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But if you take heed of my warning and you repent, Jesus Christ said, I will relent and not inflict on you the disaster I have planned. Am I right? Keep on verse 9.
And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it.
See, at first, you know, I call you to be a pastor. I want to bless you. And at first you did it, you did a good job. I know you're deep. I know you're persevering. You endure without going weary, right? You've done a good job, right? You tested the false prophet. You know, you have something in faith in your favor, right? You hate what I hate, right? The practices of the Nicolaitans. And yet you did evil. You did things without love, right? And I supposed to bless you. Now I turn around, I'm not going to bless you. I take away the blessing. Isn't it a severe warning? So I want you to write down Ezekiel chapter 3. If you want the whole thing, you write down starting 17 all the way to 21. Ezekiel, and then Jeremiah 18, 7 to 10. You got that? Then you know this warning? Then when Jesus say, I hold this against you, you better take heed. You better pay attention to it. Right? It's a serious matter. Don't just say, oh, I just lose my job. No, it's not just lose your job. You lose your life. Not just lose your life. You lose eternal life. Right? Am I right? So what should we do when we hear Jesus rebuke us? I want you to write down Proverbs chapter 1, verse 23. Proverbs 1:23. If you have responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you. That heart, NIV translation is not that good. It's supposed to be my spirit. I would have poured my spirit to you and make my thought known to you. My thought is not too good as translation. Make my words known to you. I want you to change that. Listen to me how I read it. Proverbs 1:23. If you have responded to my rebuke. You remember Jesus said, I hold this against you. You have lost your, you have forsaken your first love, right? I hold this against you. And if you have responded to my rebuke and repent to it, I will have poured out my spirit to you, and I will have made my thoughts, I will have made my words known to you. So in other words, we know God's word, we know God's spirit now, right? When Jesus tells us to repent, we better what? We better repent. Right beside repent, you write down Proverbs 1:23. Right beside repent, I want you to write down Luke chapter 24:47. What did Jesus say before he ascended to heaven? What did he say to the 12 apostles? Starting in verse 46. Jesus told his apostle, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That is the command of Jesus Christ to his disciple, his follower. We should preach in Jesus' name regarding repentance. And then anyone who repents, all his sins will be forgiven. You understand? Right beside 24:47, you write down Acts chapter 3, 19. Luke was written by Dr. Luke. Acts was written by Dr. Luke too. Acts 3:19, repent and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. And verse 20, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. When we turn around, turn away from our wickedness, our evil doing, and turn to God, all our sins will be wiped out, will be cleansed. Okay? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for allowing to study your word. Now we know the seriousness of serving God without the undying love. Serving you without love is just like a star is not shining, just like a tree is not bearing fruit, and you will remove it from its place. On top of that, we lost the right to enter the paradise of God. We lost the right to eat the fruit from the tree of life. Lord, we do not want to lose the right. We ask that you give us the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God, and help us to repent. We want to be victorious over our sins through the power of the Holy Spirit, because you promise us that to whom who overcome, to whom who are victorious, you give the right to eat from the tree of life. Lord, I pray you help us to know the seriousness of forsaking your first love. Lord, I pray that you can help us to continue to live in love, and to whatever we do, and help us out of the motive of loving you, because we heard what Paul has said, those who does not love you will receive curse from Jesus. Lord, we do not want to receive curse from Jesus. We want to receive blessing from Jesus. If anyone does not love the Lord, a curse be on him. Come, O Lord. And I pray that help us to receive more grace from you, because grace be to all who love you with an undying love. And help us whenever we serve you. We learn that today, each and every one of us, as the member of the body of Christ, each member, each part does its work. And because you hate those people who do not serve you and who hinder people from serving you, and you want each and every one to serve you, that's what you love. And I pray that you help us to do what you love, and help us not to do things that you hate, and help us to whatever we do out of the motive of love. Not the kind of love in human terms, but the kind of love that Jesus demonstrated to us is a sacrificial love. It's so that to bring people to come to know you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Is there any other question?